so glad that Jesus rescued me. And I love that verse in that song, my testimony, grace rewrote my story. You know, quite honestly, I know where I was headed, and Jesus conducted a rescue mission or intervention in my life. He's the only one that could, and he is the only one who loved me enough to apprehend me. I hope that's your story. I hope you never lose the appreciation of how Jesus reached into your life and gave you new life in him. Our text this morning is 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. I'll give a little explanation in a few moments on how I arrived here. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the sense of smell? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Once again, thank you all for not allowing the snow to keep you away from God's house today. Appreciate all of you that turned out this morning. Well, there seems to be a pattern. Once again, I was awakened very early on Wednesday morning, and I heard a phrase or a quote, and I must confess, in my comatose state, I had no idea why God was speaking that to me. It was from a 17th century preacher, I guess you could say. His name is John Donne. And the quote was, for whom the bell tolls is what I heard, and the bell tolls for thee. And it's a quote from one of his sermons in which he explores the interconnectedness of humanity. And it starts by saying, no man is an island. Everything is connected some way. Even sometimes we don't understand how, but it is, there is a connection because God makes it. So, no man is an island entirely of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Now, strictly speaking, in England, in the continent there in that day, and I think this is true to a degree everywhere, when there was a funeral procession or funeral service, the church bells announced it. And so there's a sense of which that's what he was getting at, but when you dig a little deeper, he's saying how everything is interconnected. And everything is in relationship because God designed things that way. And as I sought the Lord for meaning and an answer, I was led to this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this morning's message is entitled, Placed with a Purpose. In other words, placed by God. Wherever you find yourself, whatever circumstances, but most especially for our application, if you find yourself as part of this local body, undeniably God placed you here. You didn't choose to come here. God placed you here. And so this first part of 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the spiritual gifts and their use. And there's one the verse I'll lead into the message today is 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. And it's talking about those giftings, those abilities, that deposit of Jesus Christ that each of us carries. And God brought it to pass. It was his will. Once we made a choice to be born again, the Holy Spirit came in and something began to be transformed. And that's a lifelong process. I wish in some ways, because I've grown up in an instant gratification society, I could wish or I could hope God did a complete work all at once. But then I would never have known his saving power and the power of his blood and the power of his grace. And so, I also got a prophetic word at corporate prayer on Thursday night. And I'd like to just share that as we lead into today's message. It speaks to this distributing or releasing these gifts of the Holy Spirit in each of us, and God's power to breathe upon those gifts. You know, sometimes we're not even aware of those things that God has created us to carry. And sometimes also things don't get revealed to us until a later time in our walk with Christ, but they're always there, and God knows when the timing is right to release those and empower those. And so what I saw and what I heard was that we, you and I, but us as a church as well, God said we're standing at a precipice. And I remember way back in the 70s when I traveled cross country, and one of the most beautiful places is the Canadian Rockies. And I went to a national park there called Banff, B-A-N-F, I think. Anyway, I climbed out onto a precipice, and the view was breathtaking. But I was like at the mercy, in one instant I could have just fallen to my death. You understand? So God says he's bringing us to the end of ourselves in a way, in this season, so that he can begin to do deeper work. But the precipice represents God's vantage point so that we can see like the panorama. We can see everything from that point. We can see what God sees. That's his desire. And we can get the revelation that we need to move forward personally and as a church. We're at a point where we need that, so that as God gives revelation, as God uncovers things in his plan to enter the land that he foresaw, he predestined and determined for Freedom Worship Center and for each of us, he will also give us, and he will give you, a strategy to possess your own spiritual inheritance. And what I studied was Deuteronomy chapter 32, where God brought Moses up to a precipice to view the promised land. And unfortunately, because Moses did something, remember when he struck the rock three times, God said, you will see it, but you won't enter the land. But that's not the case for you and I and for the body of Christ and for this church. God has a promised land. God has a plan for your life, for my life, for this place, and we will see it, not just from afar, but God will bring us to a point where we can enter in and possess that which he has determined that is ours. And even though she didn't know it, Sandy spoke a word before, right after God had given me and shown me this. This is what Sandy said at corporate prayer. The fight has been hard and heavy, but the victory is right in front of you. It's right there, you know, and we just have to keep pressing through and grab it, in other words. And some of you might remember 2 weeks ago, the title of my message was See and Declare the Victory. But God wants us to see what he sees. He wants us to be informed about what he has planned. And then you might also remember that both June and I had a vision of the eagle. And what I had seen was the eagle was circling right over this building. And again, the eagle flies very high to get to survey the land. And an eagle can actually see a prey a mile away. It's incredible. But he won't see it if he stays in the nest. He won't see it unless he takes flight and gets to that place where the currents or the air will take him. And it's a beautiful sight. And God wants us to let the Holy Spirit take us. He wants us to get in the current, in the flow of the Holy Spirit, so that he can then take us, show us his perspective, and take us where he wants us to go. And there's more there, but of course, the verse that comes to mind is Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired, and walk and not become weary. So God knows what he's doing, and he placed you here for a purpose. And there are a number of aspects to that in this passage. The first is you were placed to succeed. It says there in verse 13, he made all to drink of one spirit. Now you can choose not to drink. You can choose not to be spirit-led, but I won't recommend that. Because that's the only way you're going to get to your promised land. That's the only way you're going to see it first and then get the strategy to possess it as well. And that living water, Jesus talked about it in John 7, 37 to 39. He was speaking about the filling and release of Holy Spirit into the life of the believer. He who believes in me, verse 38, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And so, sometimes you feel it, you feel a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes you don't. But God doesn't want you to go by that. He wants you to go by the certainty of your faith, that you believe what God has shown you and what he has said, and you believe his word. And he will lead and guide you to do and to say that which he has planned. And so you're called and anointed with a purpose. Whatever the Lord has for you to speak or to do, whether in life or in the church or in the ministry, he provides that grace and that anointing to make it succeed. And Isaiah 55:11 speaks to this. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth, and also the mouth of the prophets and his servants. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So, his desire, his heart's desire, is to prepare and empower you to succeed, not to fail. You know, all the challenges, all the resistance, all the testing and the struggles that we go through are just to build up our faith, to show us how strong and mighty the Lord really is, to show how deep his grace is. And our desire should be to pursue him and to know him. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And Ephesians 4:13 also talks about being filled up to all the fullness. You know, unless he fills me, I'm empty. And how do I know whether I'm doing the will of God, how I'm doing what God wants me to do? He fills me. He anoints me. He leads me. He guides me. He gives me revelation. So, secondly, in being placed for a purpose, you're placed for service, from verses 14 to 17 and verse 20. And of course, it talks about all different parts of the body there, and every part having its function, everyone being equally important. But it says twice, and it says it two different ways. Verse 14 says, "For the body is not one member, but many." And then in verse 20 it says, "But now there are many members, but one body." Now, it's kind of a wordplay. When I see things in the scripture like that, I call those bookends. And so we need to pay attention what's in between the bookends. And it's talking about each function, each member of the body, and how important it is that each one functions in a way that they contribute to the whole body. Now, I was remembering, I think this is the lady who had this quote. This was in the charismatic or even Catholic charismatic movement in the 1970s. Some of you may remember. Stella Payton, I believe, is the author. She said, "Bloom where you are planted." Anybody remember that? But she also said this, "Sow where you are fed." That's the complete statement of her quote. Bloom where you are planted, but sow into the place where God has planted you, and you get fed so you can grow. Talking about service there. Placed for service, point two. So if I were to paraphrase that quote, I would say something like, be productive, find your contribution or your place of service or your place of fruitfulness. And sometimes there's a learning curve, but you have to start someplace. And God's not in a rush. You know? And so we just have to stay in communication with him. And, you know, if I'm thinking way back in 1982 when I was in preaching lab, and I could feel bullets of sweat dripping from my armpits. I was unsure of myself. I wasn't confident at all to preach, and my critics, my peers, said to me, "You have an excellent message, but the presentation—that's where you're lacking." And yet, many of those men are no longer even preaching the gospel, and here I am. All these years later, preaching the gospel. And I'm no longer afraid of what people think. I deliver what he gives me, and I make no apologies for it. But what I'm saying is that was a process, so you have to start someplace. You have to hear the voice of the Lord and then respond to it and find your place of service. There's always an appointed time, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven. And there's a sense of which you and I need to align with and then enter into heaven's purpose. We don't always know exactly what it is, but that's what faith is all about. It takes us, it keeps us moving in the right direction when we don't understand. And it gives us the boldness to speak to that which is not as if it is, as the scripture says. So aligning and entering heaven's purposes for you in his body, the church. Now, I would like to say this, that how we do this is we operate out of a position of sonship, or being a child of God, if you want to say it that way. Then we discover the gifts and our function. So, for myself, for instance, I am a son first. My identity is not as a pastor or a preacher or a teacher. My identity is as a son of the Father. And out of that place, everything else flows. And so, he has a plan and a purpose for my life. I didn't know what it was, and it was on a need-to-know basis. And I don't like that. I know you don't like that, too, because we like to have all our ducks in a row, but what would be the role of faith in all of that? And so, the first thing he spoke to me was that I was to go to Bible school. I had no desire or no inclination or no thought that I would even need to do that or why I would need to do it. And that was a step of obedience. And I sold my business. I eventually sold my home and just began to discover why God wanted me to go to Bible school. I mean, not that it was a bad thing, of course. Learning more of the Word, learning more of God's ways, sure. But I had to start someplace, and that's how God got me in motion to the point where now my function is as a pastor, but it's my identity is as a son. If God says to me tomorrow, step down, I'm not saying that he's going to do that, but I'm saying if he did, I wouldn't be shattered, because my identity is not as a pastor. My identity is a son. And he has the freedom to use me in however he deems best. And so I don't hold on to a title or a position, because my identity is as a son. And I hope you're getting this, because this is essential for everything we do. And then the gifts, teaching, preaching, the prophetic, finances, is another way he's gifted me. Those things all flow out of my sonship, not out of my function. You see, and my relationship is key. When I walk out of relationship, there goes the anointing, there goes the power, there goes the revelation. And so that's something we have to always be working at, because the world has incredible demands on our lives, family, jobs, right down the line, children, all different responsibilities that the Lord has given to us. But the cross needs to remain central. A son is always looking to the cross, because that's where your identity is. So we need to find our purpose. You need to find your purpose in him first, in relationship with him first. And then out of relationship follows revelation, anointing, giftings, purpose, and so forth. We are placed with a purpose. Wherever we find ourselves, God has a purpose for it. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. If you're seeking Him, then all these things will fall into place. There may be a point where you find yourself in no man's land. You know all about that, don't you, Steve? You're in a season. You're in between. But God hasn't... God wants to use these seasons in our life to do a deeper work, to prepare us for the next season or the next purpose or the next assignment. And so every challenge is actually a blessing in disguise, because God will birth things as we are careful to maintain the right heart attitude. God will birth new life. God will birth new things. And then we'll have what we call an aha moment. One day we'll get it. Oh, that's why that happened. Or that's why you wanted to do that in my life, and so forth. Placed with a purpose. Number three, placed by Him. Verse 24 in our text, where it says, God has so composed the body. He's always working. Jesus said this, I am working and my Father is working even until now. And so whether it's the state of our nation, whether it's the state of your life, the state of His church, He's always working. We don't see it sometimes, and we have to trust Him. We have to grow in our faith so that we can then move on and get whatever it is we need to be empowered and equipped. But we are placed by Him. And the role of faith is key here. Hebrews 4:2, the word which they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith. And when you study the word, you find out some amazing things. That word that where God, it says God has so composed, the other meaning of that word is God has so united the body. And so that's the same word in Hebrews 4:2, where it says it didn't profit them because it wasn't united with faith. That was God's intent. God wants and always wants us a response of faith when He speaks. Because anything without whatever is not in faith is what? Sin, the Bible says. And so, placed by Him, I have no doubt that God placed me here. And when I first came here, honestly, how God did it was not how I would have expected. And somebody who was discontented with this church told me about it. But that didn't dissuade me. I felt God was saying, you need to go check this church out. And when Kathy and I came, we knew God spoke to us that very first day. And we also found that He spoke to others, the elder, different ones in the body came to us later on. But I wanted to, the reason I'm sharing this is, God just confirmed to me, this is where you belong, son. He placed me here. And many of you don't know this, but this is the longest time I've ever spent in any church in my 40-something years of walking with the Lord. And I had no idea when he originally said, "This is where you belong," that that's what he meant. That was in 2003. And it wasn't until four more years later that I was appointed and answered the call to be the pastor here. I had no intention of it, none whatsoever. In fact, some know that I actually refused twice. And it was only through prayer and fasting that God impressed upon me, "Yes, you are. I brought you here for this very purpose. I placed you here for this purpose." So you need to know where you belong. You have to have that assurance. You have to have that confidence. Because out of that, God will give you a ministry. God will give you your purpose. He will reveal or unveil the revelation of why he brought you, why he says you belong. I believe that's the same thing he spoke over each of us that are within my hearing today. But it was a process. That's what I want to emphasize to you. And I'm still learning, and God has still not done everything he has planned. There are still some things in the future God has planned for me here. There's been a number of prophetic words over me and over this house, and I am waiting for those things to be fulfilled. By faith, I know they will be, because God spoke them, and I received it by faith. And so, don't be impatient if there's things God's spoken to you and you don't see anything happening. Wait upon the Lord until you mount up with wings like the eagle and gain new strength, gain revelation, gain perspective. So, needing to know where we belong, needing to know where you were called, selected, placed by him, needs to be united by faith in your life with him, with the Lord, with his leadership team, with me as your pastor. Bloom where you are planted, sow where you are fed. You are needed here. You are all needed in this house. And whatever you have to offer is needed. Whether you're a hand, a leg, an eye, an ear, whatever it is, you're needed. You're essential for the functioning of the body. God wants you to impress that upon each of us today. Number four. We were placed for unity. There, it says there in verse 25 in our text, there should be no division in the body. And this one is for you, Barbara. Division is two visions. It's one vision. The Lord has a vision, not two. And so you have to seek the Lord until you can see the one vision. You may have ideas, you may have thoughts, but until they align with God's thoughts and until they align with the vision of the house, that's all they are, is thoughts. Placed for unity. God gives a vision for the local church body. And everything we do and everything you do should support and flow from that vision. And that's what we're going to talk about next week in the FWC Reach presentation. And I prepared this message in preparation for that presentation. I believe that's why God gave me this message. And I thought about saving it till next week, but it was fresh manna. It was fresh. God gave it to me this week. But that doesn't mean you can't chew on this, meditate on this, think on these things this week. Prepare your heart for next week. Everything you do should support and flow from the vision of FWC. I think I forgot to write this verse down, so I don't know where it is, but I'm reading it out of the New King James, which is similar to the King James, which says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" The answer is no. You can't. And so unity isn't always agreeing 100%. You know, I've been in leadership teams at various churches, and there have been different viewpoints, different perspectives. But I agree to walk with those people, those men and those women of God. I agree to walk with the elder team. Just because we don't agree on a point or some particular point, that doesn't cause division, doesn't cause me to depart into another vision. No, it forces me to press in to see how that fits into one vision, the vision of the Lord for this place. A couple of passages, Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3, talks about preserving the spirit of unity. It says, Paul speaking, "I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So, so essential for the health of any local body. And Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." And, you know, the scripture that comes to me right now, it's not in my notes. "I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Christ, lives in me." And that should be our heart cry. That should be the driving force in everything we do in life. And Luke 6:31, "Treat others in the same way you want them to treat you." And Romans 12, verses 3 to 5. "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." We are connected. Sometimes we don't see the connection or even feel the connection. But we are connected, and we're connected by Him. And we're placed here for unity. And finally, we're placed to honor Him. If one member suffers, all members suffer. If one man is honored, all members rejoice with it, with the body. That's from verse 23, 1 Corinthians 26, excuse me. And 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 21 talks about, verse 21, a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. And so sometimes that means if the toilets need to be cleaned, I clean the toilets. I don't look for praise from you. If something needs to be vacuumed, I take pride in this house. You should take pride in God's house. And it's the little things that God looks for in us that opens up more responsibility and eventually more anointing and a greater ministry. Because the Bible says if you're faithful in little, you're going to be faithful in much as well. Proverbs 22, the reward of humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. 2 Corinthians 8, 20 to 21, Paul speaking about not just giving, but a principle of ministry and service, taking precautions so that no one will discredit us or the service or the ministry of the gospel for him. Our administration of this generous gift that they're bringing to Jerusalem is what he's talking about there. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And coming to a close here, 2 Samuel 2:30. Those who honor me, the Lord says, I will honor. So we need to love, care for, and honor others and prove ourselves to be a son and a servant of Christ and of the Father. And, of course, that's John 13, 34, and 35, and 1 John chapter 4. But take away this morning. You were placed for a purpose. Not by accident, not by your preference. It's by God's preference and by God's purpose. Placed for a purpose, called and filled with His purpose. And that's how we should live our life. Always seeking, always growing, always needing Christ more tomorrow than we do today. That's the true definition in my book of maturity. After these 40 years, I know now how much I really need Him. I knew I needed Him, you know. I knew my life was a wreck. And He rescued me. He righted the ship. He set my course in the direction of the kingdom. But methodically, one thing after another, He cleaned up my life. And He's still doing that. He's still preparing me for the future. He's still doing the same in you. But you have to submit to that. That's the relationship with Holy Spirit. We always talk about relationship with Jesus, and that is important. I'm not diminishing that. We talk about the love of the Father, and that's important. But they are three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we need to be in relationship with all three. God bless you as you dig in and you discover afresh that you were placed for a purpose. God bless you. Stay safe. Have fun. Go sledding. Make snow angels. Whatever it is you want to do. God bless your day and God bless your week. And I can't wait to see you again soon. God bless.